Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. Today I have a very special guest for you, Lisa Johnson. Now her story is absolutely incredible. She, like me, was a single mum, but she has twins. How she done that, I have no idea. And she started her business 6 years ago and it has built into a £1 million empire. So I'm going to get her to share her story today, tell us how she done it, and talk about passive income and sewing passive income, because that's what she's all about. So without further ado, here she is. You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself, or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes. Lisa, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks for coming on. So I'm sure many people know who you are, but those that possibly don't, can you just give us a quick intro on who you are, what you do?
Yeah. So I'm a business strategist that generally helps people make passive or semi-passive income from things like memberships, courses, any kind of working online type of business, really.
Amazing. Obviously, you're my coach too, so I've learned tons from you, which I absolutely love. So thank you very much. But before we go into ways that you could help our listeners, tell us a little bit about before you become a business owner. Obviously, you was in corporate. So yeah. What made you go into corporate, and then what made you leave corporate?
I went into corporate just because I thought that's the only thing I could do. And I grew up in poverty. So I didn't go to university. I didn't do A-levels or anything like that. I had to get a job at 16 to be able to survive. And so I just got the only job that I could find, which was an office junior. And like most people, I kind of then climbed a ladder of office junior. Then I'd move to the next place and be an admin assistant, move to the next place and be a PA. And I actually ended up in Canary Wharf in London as a risk analyst in an investment bank. So it was quite the journey from where I'd come from. And people who still lived in the council estates where I grew up on, you know, my family and friends would think of me as like the person that kind of got out because I was in corporate. But I actually felt quite trapped in corporate because it doesn't matter how much you do, there's still more work that you have to do. Like you never feel really like you finish your day having done anything, and certainly not having done anything meaningful. So it was just like a treadmill for me. And then when I was 36, I got pregnant with twins, and then very quickly went through a divorce. And so my whole world changed. And although I thought I would be going back to work, you know, go back to work, the kids were 5 months old when I went back to work. I just thought things could carry on how they did before, but they obviously couldn't, and everything had changed. And so that's what changed how I thought about things. I did get another job really close to my house so that I could at least see the kids, because when you work in investment banking, you leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, you come home at 10 o'clock at night. And I had two kids, and that couldn't happen anymore. So I got a job near my house, back 15 years to being a PA, like an admin assistant, and saw them for an hour in the morning, an hour at night. And while I was there, obviously my salary went down from around 60,000-70,000 to 20,000 with two more mouths to feed, and with me, you know, changing my marriage circumstances as well. And so I was then in this position where I had to make money somehow. I had to make more money, and I was bored at work because I'd been used to having quite a lot of responsibility, and now suddenly I didn't. And so I decided to start my first business because of that. And it was a wedding planning business. Made all the mistakes that you could possibly make if you've never had a business before. Mm. But I eventually learned more about business, and that wedding planning business became, you know, successful, as in it made a profit that was the same amount that I used to make in corporate. But I realized that even with that, I was working constantly every weekend and I still wasn't really seeing the kids as much as I wanted to. And so eventually, after about 2 or 3 years of that, people were asking me so many questions about business that I realized that actually that's where my talent lay, in helping other people to start and grow their own businesses. And so 6 years ago, I started what was then Lisa Johnson Strategy, and everything changed.
Wow. Where do you think your business ethic come from? Like, did your family in business? Did you just, no. Was it just in you?
I didn't know anyone that had ever had a business. Like, where I come from, people don't have businesses. Like, they have jobs that just about pay for the rent and that's it. So we didn't really know anyone that had a business. But when I look back now, when I was really young, there was definitely a hidden entrepreneurial streak in me that I didn't know was even there. But, you know, when me and my sister and my best friend talk, there's all these stories about how I'd do a newspaper round, or I was a naval lady at 13. You know, I would find ways to make money. Like, we used to go around washing people's cars, and I'd actually get my friend and my sister to do the work. I would go around and get all of the sales. They would do the work and get half the money. And now both of them work for me now. So it's kind of funny how life just continued in a different way. But yeah, there was an entrepreneurial streak there, but I didn't know what that was until I started my business and realized, especially in the second business, that I really can see very clearly. I have a gift for being able to see where someone is, where they want to be, and the steps they need to do to get there. You know, I've always had a photographic memory. I did a law degree when I was about 28 while I was working full time, and was able to get a 2-1 in that law degree because of this photographic memory, where if I read a book, I remember pretty much everything in that book. And so when I was reading all of the books about business and all of the webinars and things, everything stayed. So when someone asked me a question, I was able to go, oh, well, I've read about this. This is what you should do in this situation. And I was able to do it in a way that wasn't so complicated, because I think that people make business really complicated and it doesn't need to be. And so I'd just tell them what to do and they'd go and do it and they would have success. And so I feel like there's a lot of things I can't do well in life, but I'm really good at just helping people make money.
So there's that question, isn't there? Are you born an entrepreneur, or you learn to be an entrepreneur? Would you say you're born an entrepreneur?
I don't know. I think both exist. I think there are some people that just have it in them and have that drive and resilience, because there are certain things you need to be an entrepreneur that not everybody has. And I think resilience is definitely one. But I think you can learn a lot of the practicalities of how to be an entrepreneur, because you can have all the drive in the world and the best mindset, but if you don't know the strategies to be able to actually make money in your business, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously you've had your business now for 6 years, you said.
Yeah.
And you've obviously gone from corporate to this business, which 6 years is still new for like the world of business.
Yeah.
Your business turning over, what, 7 million a year, something around that?
At the moment, it's around 4 to 5 million. Altogether in the last 6 years, we've done over 15 million.
So I think lots of people listening and watching would be like, okay, how? Like, did your business go from, was it this steady process, or was it like overnight you was like, oh my God, I've actually figured this out?
No, I don't think you ever figure it out. I'm still figuring it out. I feel like what happens is you get a bit better at certain things. So in the first 6 months, I did make 100,000. And I think that's quite rare. And I think that I did that because of all the learnings I'd had in the business where I didn't make that much money. So I kind of put all those learnings into practice. So new to be visible. So all I did for that first 6 months is be visible online every day. And I mean, every day I would go live. So I became obsessed with my business. And I really do think in the first year or so, you have to be obsessed with it. It can't be a fun side thing that you do while doing everything you really want to do. You become obsessed with it. And because of that, the foundations grew really well. And I wasn't scared of taking risks. You know, I invested 150,000 in the first year and a half into my business to learn all the things I needed to learn. And so when I needed to take on staff in year three, that's what I did. I, you know, yes, it's scary because you don't know if it's going to pay off, but I think risks are important. I suppose there are certain parts of the last 6 years where there were significant jumps. So for instance, I was launching a program that was making around 350,000 every time I launched it. And then I decided to do an affiliate launch for the first time in the first month of COVID, April 2020. That jumped that launch up from 350,000 to 2.5 million.
Wow.
And that's when we saw like, okay, that's a major difference because I started to take risks. Like it was really risky to do an affiliate launch at that time. No one had done one in the UK successfully. Yeah. And so people thought they wouldn't work here. And especially during COVID, but actually it kind of worked better for me that it was COVID because there was a lot of people on furlough sitting at home wanting to learn something new. And so it had a good effect for my business. And yeah, it just kind of grew from there. But every time I've done something risky, whether it's start something completely new, buy a book, you know, that became a Sunday Times bestseller, that helped the business. All the things where I've taken a massive risk have always paid off in one way or another.
I think that's always what it comes down to, isn't it? Because I know, obviously, we both talk to businesses daily, but the difference between someone going far and someone staying where they're at for the next 5 years is because they're the ones that are really scared to take risks. But it doesn't matter how much we say, like, you have to take risk, have to take risk. Like, it is the main thing that you need to do in business.
Yeah, I think the problem we've got as well is that, especially in online business, we've kind of been fed a lie that unless you make a million in the first 6 months of your business, you've failed in some way. Like everyone's talking six figures, seven figures, and you know that we should make that straight away. It's actually really normal to lose money in the first few years of business, really normal, because people used to pay out capital in their businesses. You know, if you ask the generation above us who had bricks and mortar businesses that weren't online, they would say, if you break even in year three, you're doing really well. If we don't make six figures in 3 months, everyone says you failed. We need to stop thinking like that because we need long-term businesses, not businesses that make a bit of money for now and then they're gone because there's no point in that. We want sustainable businesses, which means they grow slowly. You know, year on year, you would add a bit of a percentage up. But also there will be some years where you will lose money because you are investing into your staff, into your, you know, the profit margins will be much less because of what you're investing into. And last year was one of that for me. Like we needed to get our profit margins really low because we wanted to invest in staff. We wanted to invest in training and software. It was a huge year for us. And we knew it was going to dip down. It did. The revenue was still the same. But this year, because of all of the things we did last year, the profit is now massively up from where it was 2 years ago. And the revenue is higher. And that's because you take a risk.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a massive believer, like, you know, when it comes to taking risks. I mean, God, I was like 19 and took out something like 60 odd thousand just to set up my salon. Like, you've just got to do it.
Yeah. And you knew, you took a calculated risk. You didn't just go into something blindly. You knew that you were going to make it non-negotiable, that it was going to succeed. And I do think there is calculated risk that you should take. Yes, you shouldn't just, you know, invest in anything willy-nilly. You should do your due diligence on it and make sure you know your projected ROI from it. And that's great. But calculated risks, yeah, we have to take them.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.
And as this journey has been going on, just want to touch on like single mum life, because I was single mum for a long time too. How did the boys find this whole journey? Were they like, on it with you? Were they like, what's mom doing?
They were really little when I first started. Like when I started the wedding business, I think there were two. So one or two. So they didn't really know what was going on. By the time I started Lisa Johnson's strategy, they did. So there were four or five. And they've been on that whole journey with me. Obviously, I got married since then and they have a new stepfather. But yeah, they've done all of it with me. They're part of the business. They understand a launch better than most launch strategists. They know what goes into it. They know what they need to hit. They understand targets and goals. And one of my twins is coming on my retreat this year because he wants to learn about business. And he sees it on the ground every day. You know, they're being homeschooled at the moment and they see what happens as part of a business constantly and they get more and more interested in it. So, you know, they've reaped the benefits the same as me. They get to go first class everywhere they go the same as me. So they know how important it is if you want a life that is extraordinary that you put the work in. And they see me do that and I want them to have that work ethic.
I love that. They've literally had like the best mentor, like training them every single day, haven't they?
Yeah, if they don't go into business, I'm going to be like very surprised.
Everyone always says, oh, I bet Lola's going to like have her own salon and stuff like that. I was like, no, my luck, she'll end up a mechanic or something. Completely the opposite. So explain what passive income means to you, because I know that's obviously the big thing that set up around you and you're like the queen of passive income. So what does that actually mean?
So what it doesn't mean is doing nothing, which is what some people think it means. And they sell it on the basis that you just go to a beach and money will somehow be there. It takes a lot of work. All passive income means is not trading time for money. So, you know, with most jobs that people do, they do something that takes their time and they get paid for it. Whether you're a branding designer, whether you're a hairdresser, it doesn't matter. You do something and you get paid. When you're no longer trading time for money, that means that you can get paid while you're asleep or while you are on holiday because of an asset that you've already built. Now, the easiest way to explain that is property. So let's say if you have a house that you've bought and you've made it look nice and then you rent it out to people, you're getting passive income because those people, you know, you've already bought the asset, you've already done the hard work, you've marketed the asset, you know, you've put an advert out. Now somebody is in your house and is paying you every month and you're not doing anything to get that. And that's kind of like the basis of passive income. So the kind of passive income that I teach are things like courses. So if you've got knowledge in your head, you can write a course and that's the asset and you build that course. And then someone pays you while you're asleep to take that course. And there's a difference. There's passive income, which is completely passive. You've written the course, it's there. Someone can buy it, go off and do it. You don't even know. You just see the money in your account. And then there's semi-passive, which I actually prefer, which is where some of it is done live. So you might have written the whole course already and you might have delivered it 10 times and you're going to deliver it again for the 11th time, but you're going to do it. Let's say it takes you 3 hours to do that. And instead of 3 hours with one person, you can do 3 hours to 2,000 people who are all paying you the same as that one person would have. And so you make a lot more money, but it's still semi-passive because you are still putting some work into it.
Mm. A lot of people listening to this podcast, they're mainly service providers. So they are going to be trading their time for money. And I think a lot of them would be like, I'd love to do this, but I'm doing nails, I'm doing lashes or hair. I bet they're thinking like, well, what could I do that's passive or what course could I create? Have you got any ideas for them?
Yeah, there's so many things you can do. So especially in the wellness and beauty industries, there's so many people making passive income. So if you think of even people that you know who are famous, let's take Joe Wicks as an example. So what he did, he was a service provider. He was a personal trainer. So he'd go out there and he'd train people and he'd make money that way. But then he realized that he could do some stuff online as well as doing his one-to-one stuff to lots of different people and make money as part of a membership. So for instance, you could write an ebook of the things that you know about beauty, about hair, about lashes, you know, an ebook on how people could do things themselves could be one way of doing things and people could buy that all the time. Or if you've already have a career and there's other people that want your career, you could teach them how to get that career. Like, what did you need to do when you first set up a salon, for instance, that other people might need to know who are just starting to think about that? You only need to be a few steps ahead of where somebody else is. So there's so many things you can do. Like, some of the memberships that I'm part of are about skincare. There was a membership that I saw about people with curly hair that needed to know ways to tame it. There are also memberships that you could make for, like you have, for other people who are in the same industry as you, so that they can talk to each other about their issues. So there's lots of different ways that you can still make passive income and do the thing that you're doing.
Yeah, because I know loads of you that are listening to this right now are time poor, you're in treatment all of the time. Many of you come to me and go, well, I can't do anything else because I'm like so busy. But if you just make some time to create a course or create a membership or create an ebook, then there's an extra income there straight away.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to do it this way. There are other ways to get passive income. You can invest in the stock market. That's passive. You know, there are things that you can do. You could buy a property. There are other ways of making passive income. You can use affiliate links. So if you're recommending certain products to your clients all the time, make sure you get an affiliate link for that, or become a brand partner so that you can get paid every time someone buys that thing. So there are other ways to do passive income as well, but I do think everyone has a course or an ebook in them.
Yeah, definitely. All that knowledge is not someone else's knowledge, is it? So
exactly that. And you're, even if people often say to me, yeah, but it's been done before, like there's already a book on that, it doesn't really matter, because your take on it will be completely different to anybody else's.
Yeah, sure. And then lastly, because I'll let you go because I know you're super busy, what is your biggest tip for those in business that aren't possibly where they want to get just yet?
Just knowing that if you do one thing every day to get where you want to get to, you will eventually get there. I think it's really hard sometimes when we look around at everyone else, especially with social media, and imagine that everyone's doing so much better than us. We're not where we want to be yet. Just remembering that you're seeing a highlight reel and there's no race. You go at your pace to get where you want to get to. And as long as you're always moving forward, you will eventually get there.
Did you actually go live every day?
Yeah, sorry.
That's the one thing I can't do. I can't go live on my own. I need a partner in crime.
No, you definitely can. Sometimes, you know, when you think, I don't even know what to say today. Like, I know I need to go live. I want people to see that I'm an expert in what I do. I want people to see my personality. Like, they're the reasons that you need to go live. The thing that worried me is that, what if I can't think of anything to say? And so what I used to do on those days is go and read a page of a book, and then any business book, and then discuss what I had just learned with my followers.
That's such a good idea, but you have that photographic brain. So I'd have to read the page like 20 times before I went live. Oh, I love that. But that's a great tip. Was you on there for like 5 minutes, an hour, to just chat and then just jump off?
Sometimes I'd be on there for 30 seconds. I'd just be like, I just wanted to tell you this quick tip. If you're worried about this, do this. Sometimes I'd be on for 45 minutes ranting about something in the industry. Sometimes I'd make a mistake in my business, so I'd go on and tell them about the mistake so they didn't make that mistake. So it was always different things, just, you know, literally from 30 seconds ranging to 45 minutes.
Well, that's giving me a kick up my ass. I might do that later.
See how many days you can do it until.
Yeah. Right. Where can people connect with you?
Easiest way is Instagram, which is at Lisa Johnson Strategist. I talk on my own social media. So when you write to me on there, you get me. So if you want to chat, that's the best place for it.
Perfect. Everything will be in the show notes, so you can go and check it out. If you love this episode, then please make sure you screenshot and tag us so more people can listen to it. Lisa, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for inviting me on.
Hi guys, my name's Ola Goldsmith. You may have seen me on Dragon's Den with my hair business. I'm now helping hair and beauty business owners grow their business faster with my affordable private members group. At just £7 a month, you can cancel anytime. You'll get access to a private members portal full of resources, training, cheat sheets, and so much more. Plus you'll get access to my private Facebook group where I'll deliver live coaching each and every month. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today.